And I heard a cute one as well, just a little gathering, Thanksgiving gathering, and the pastor commenced with this simple prayer, and Lord, we are but dust without you. And he went silent. And everybody in the room, finally, a little boy said, Mommy, what is but dust? Okay, we'll let you figure that one out. Let's get right into the message, shall we? And you could see here, we're going to enjoy some things, and let's make it purposeful and with the Lord's help. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Jesus, thank you for bringing that wonderful Holy Spirit and inspiring men to write the Word of God. This is not just any book. This is not the latest reader. Lord, speak to us so that lives can be changed, both here in the chapel and those in their setting, regardless of the miles. Spirit of God, you are moving all over this planet. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you understand, we have been in a series. That series, as we recognize once again, it's entitled Overcoming the Dark Side of Stress. So as we look at that slide, yep, the dark side of stress. Last couple of times we've been together, the biblical handling of stress, and then also we dealt with the stress of time. Remember my yellow rope? We were taking a look at just how most average Americans spend 1 year and how little time we actually have that's freed up. But stressor of time. But today we're going to take a look at money. Today's message, manage money stressors. Manage money stressors. And it's an important time just to even consider that. Money can be a stressor for all of us. Most people I know have experienced stress as it relates to money. And it usually has to deal with their lack of money. I don't have enough money. So it increases their stress. And as you, life experience really can compound because it is expensive to live today. If you're not dealing with your rent or attempting to buy a home, and then there's the upkeep of that home, then children come along, and now you're trying to raise those children, and then you have children's sports, and then all of a sudden you threw a few medical bills in there, and stress just really hits people of all walks of life. So as we take a look at that, what are some ways we can reduce the stressors? So I want to take a look at that, five areas as we deal together. Let's look at number one. You can see it on your notes. Go ahead and write this down at home, but especially write down those things that you feel the Lord is speaking to you. Learn to be content. We're talking about manage money stressors. How can we reduce that? Learn to be content. Now, say that because contentment is something you and I have to learn. We have to learn. This is not something that comes naturally. Nobody is just one big, fat, contented person. You usually have to work it through. And letter A, you can see here, our discontent multiplies our stress over money. What way? Well, usually you and I will see things that we want and we can't afford it. But isn't it interesting because we start to deal with our own personal humanness where we lack contentment, we lack satisfaction, we basically are not feeling very fulfilled, and we start to look for things that will provide fulfillment in that void in our lives. Most of us heard that old thing about even Jesus, so true still today, that void, that God-shaped void in all of our lives, only Jesus can fill, that's true. But I'm telling you, it can even come when it deals with the element just life in general. People who don't even know God are looking for things that will cause them to be content. And the primary reason why people get stressed out over money is because they're looking for things that will fit and bring contentment to them. And advertisers are banking on you and I as Americans to be discontented with things. And they'll market everything to say, if you could just acquire more money, if you could just possess more of these things, you will now land on being content. It's driving our economy. That's the way it is. So you can imagine in dealing with those areas that all of a sudden that becomes now the pathway to happiness, pathway to contentment, more money or more possessions. When we lack those things or more money is lacking, naturally stress happens. Stress. Everybody say stress. Now, you didn't say that too well. Stress. That's usually how it comes in dealing with that. So what if you can't afford those things that you know will bring you contentment? You start to stress out over that. Now, it's interesting to note as well how to be content right where you're at is so significant, with or without things. I know people that have a lot of faith to believe God to move them over here will make them happy, but they're definitely not happy right here. I am not happy. But I'm believing God, he'll make me happy over here. But to learn contentment right now, wow, what a Christmas miracle you and I will be. And I know one person that said, I've learned this. It's the Apostle Paul. Check it out with me if you'll go to Philippians chapter 4. Let's begin with Philippians chapter 4. Look at verse 11. Because he says this, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. If you've got another translation, that's good. Just mark it down. But Philippians 4:11 says, "For I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." And Paul, the apostle, is writing this while he's in prison. He's in a jail. So he's writing like, man, I'm content being here. Can you believe it? What is he talking about? So when we deal with something like this, how can we be content with whatever we have? Two simple ways. Two simple ways. Here it is. Just throw it out. Letter A. You can see it. Allow Jesus to be the source of your contentment. Now you're going to say, there goes Pastor Paul again. He's always bringing Jesus first, Jesus. It's true. It's true. You know, the Bible starts off with God. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. Yeah, yeah. So why not make him first? This is not some Christian cliche. That's not my intent. That's not it. It's very real. I mean, if you don't really make Jesus your contentment, your source, I find this, that, man, when Jesus is like, have a prominent place in my life, I can just be so at ease and enjoy a park bench looking out over our beautiful landscape in Orange County. But I can also be a raging maniac when I don't have my way. So it's like, Jesus, I need you to be my source of contentment. Now, his contentment, it's amazing because we don't want to have our connection to just money or possessions or somehow the abundance. We know Scripture is very clear that it's all about relationships. That's how you and I were made. I hope you realize that. Relationship with God, we've been made that way. A relationship with people, that's the way we've been made. And the beautiful thing of God's Word is that if those relationships among us are not well, beautiful thing is, he says, forgive. That old 70 times 7, come on, let's get with it. You go make it right, because relationships bring about contentment. It's our design. Don't want to go after just possessions or more money. Be like Gollum. Gollum in the Lord of the Rings, remember him? Gollum, Gollum. The precious. Oh, you creep. I mean, can you imagine? You remember? Have you seen Lord of the Rings? It's like, what is wrong with the guy's possessed over possessions? So be careful about that. Watch out. I like what Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10. Look what he said. Listen to Jesus himself. He says, "The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose," there we go, "is to give them a rich and satisfying life." Can you see that with me? He's not here to steal from us. God is not here to rip you off. Like, man, that's why I don't want to be a Christian. I feel like they have no fun. Come on. His purpose, who wouldn't want a rich and satisfying life? God, Go and discover this for yourself, seriously. To put Jesus first, it really is an amazing thing how life and attitude is transformed. It's amazing to me. You can't even explain it, except you just have to go and experience him yourself. But for Christians, all of a sudden, their possessions, they do not possess them anymore. It's amazing. I like that. Let's take a look here. And if you say, man, I just don't know how that's going to work around, I would even, you who are at home, why don't you start by just asking Jesus, Lord, help me to be satisfied in my heart with you. Just ask him that. Or, Lord, teach me the secret of contentment. Just ask him that. That's important. That's what he said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. It's not up there, but you can write it down. Remember, he says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn from me. Go and ask him those things. Very important. We've got a boatload of stressed out people in our society, and a lot of that has to do with money. Let's take a look at letter C. Allow your relationships to be a source of contentment. Those two things, all about Jesus. It's all about relationships in your life. Those really matter, and I'll tell you, at the end of your journey, regardless of your age, you'll sure be glad you invested money in relationships. I think it's going to be important because money, there are some things money cannot buy. You cannot buy. You can think that you can provide things for loved ones, but there's still no relationship there. Watch out for that. Watch out. Thinking, well, I think that's all they want is my money. I know people who have money, lots of money, and now they don't even think that they can trust their friendships or family relationships because they're just after my money. What a way to live your life. Oh, I don't like that. That's why when I was dating Ainsley, my little ploy was I'm going to just drive around Bible college in my 1976 Datsun B210. You don't even remember what that was. I'm driving around a Datsun B210, and I wanted, Lord, if there's any girl that's interested in me, if they won't want my wheels, they'll like me, isn't it, huh? And sure enough, Ainsley was all about me. Woo! She still is today. Yeah, and now I drive a 20-year-old truck. Huh? Hot dogs. Honey, I'm coming home. She's glad I'm home. Thank you, sweetie. So allow relationships. There are so many times I've seen people sacrifice their marriage, their family, for their career, for building of their new home, maybe somehow kind of dream retirement. Watch out. I know in years when Ainsley and I struggled financially, we made sure it wasn't going to affect our relationship, that we always made sure that we just enjoyed what we had and dealt in such ways that relationship was everything to us. It wasn't the acquisition of things. So we learned to be content. Learn to be content, number one. Number two, learn to avoid comparisons. Learn to avoid comparisons. Nothing kills contentment and increases stress faster than when we start to compare with what others have. We're talking about managing money stressors. This is a big one. I like what Ecclesiastes 4:4 says. Check it out with me. It says, then I observed that most people are motivated to success because they envy their neighbors. That word envy could also be naturally comparison. They envy their neighbors, but this too is meaningless and like chasing the wind. So you will find if you start to compare yourself with others, I notice I start to lose my joy. I start to see things that other people have, their stuff, their life, their success. I don't have it, and I can't afford it, and I get stressed, and I'm not happy anymore. It's how comparison will happen. Be careful about this. This is a very real struggle. especially with Christians, because we've kind of bailed on Jesus. But a lot of these things you and I are sharing today, sure, like Dave Ramsey's got some amazing things out there, Financial Peace University, all of his materials, good stuff. But what you and I are talking about is just like, oh, okay, well, thank you, Holy Spirit. I like letter A. It says, comparing increases stress over money. I've been saying that, but it's nice to put it in writing in case you're not writing notes. It is important for us to recognize that, because when we can't afford it, what someone else has, we desire it so deeply, we end up usually going out and making a very poor decision, and we buy it. We buy it. We buy it because we think in ourselves we deserve it. And that's the worst phrase ever, isn't it? I deserve this. Don't do it. Be careful. Dave Ramsey says, we buy things we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't like. Isn't it true? Like, why did I buy that thing? A person cares nothing about me. But we do it anyway. Be careful about that. We make poor financial decisions. Just only adds more stress. We're living on margin. There's no room for error. But are we ever in trouble? We bury ourselves in debt because of this very issue. Comparison. We don't have joy. We're stressed out when we go and make those moves. Some of you might find yourself trapped in that right now. May the Lord, in his grace, be kind to say there's a better way to enjoy life. What's important for us that we daily become unhappy because we compare ourselves. We compare the way we might look. We compare how our house or our living arrangements are. We compare our vehicles. We compare our marriage. We compare our families. We compare the way we might have our careers. We compare areas that all of a sudden we just get trapped in the cycle. Is just what I just said. It's a comparison cycle. It's dreadful. And all it does is add stress. Everybody say stress. One more time, stress. Say, that's how it's coming into my heart. I'm starting to compare with other people. Everyone struggles to this point. I myself got to be careful, struggle with things. All of a sudden, I remember those times. Struggled because I'm driving a 20-year-old truck. Struggle because of my leadership style. Struggle with areas when I start to compare possibilities of where we live. Man, there was times in Banning, it's like we start to compare. Got to be careful. I knew I was comparing when I stopped having joy in my life. Those areas you have to be careful of. So let's take a look at number three, substitute comparing with gratitude. That's really the antidote. That really is. And what a beautiful setting we're coming out of with Thanksgiving. But we can stay in that mental state and have it ruin our joy. How come you're not having a good Thanksgiving? Oh, I just don't have much. Are you kidding me? So to come out of that would be, I'm just grateful. I'm thankful. We choose to be thankful. It's a proactive move. It will save your bacon. It's actually the will of the Lord. If you look here at 1 Thessalonians 5:18, let's take a gander. Sounds like a turkey, doesn't it? Let's take a gander. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. God's will is you be thankful. Now, check it out. Be thankful in all circumstances. See that little word in? There are things I am not thankful for. I am not thankful for certain things that have come across my life and my journey. But when I'm in it, I'm going to be thankful. Somehow, when I see things like Romans 5, 1 and 2, man, let's be joyful in tribulation, produces something in me. I've got to really be proactive and turn it around. Some of you could be like that. Not coming out of the house until things turn around. How can I face the family? Have to be careful. will of God is be thankful in all circumstances. Check it out with me in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And whatever you do or say, check it out. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Now, it is interesting to note one of the qualities that God wants to define his followers is a thankful heart. I see it, don't you? Look at that verse, because it says, whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. Check it out. Now, you do not, if you have Christ in your life, you are not representing your heritage. I know we can boast, I've come from this or I have that, but you represent Jesus. And one of the most sour grapes are, as a Christian that grumbles and complains, you represent Jesus that way. Is that the way the heart of God is? No way. We talked a little bit about that last time we were together. But be careful about that, an attitude that represents Jesus in life. There's numerous studies that prove God's word is so true about being grateful. It's interesting, one man, Dr. Robert Emmons, he's a leading gratitude researcher. I guess there's a category. But his research confirms that gratitude effectively increases happiness and reduces depression. So to make that choice to say, I'm just going to be grateful, could be a lot worse. Something of God's kingdom starts to come down. It's an amazing thing. Absolutely amazing. Just try it. Just try it. How that will change your week. You can still go off into grumbling. Why? And just be your old self. But be joyful and see what happens. It's wonderful. So gratitude is the antidote for comparison. When you feel comparison comes and the joy starts to dissipate, you turn it around and say, I'm going to start being grateful. You watch how the Holy Spirit starts to come on. It's a game changer. It's going to be important. A sign that you should start to begin being thankful, you have no joy. And if you were to sit down, some people go and get big-time therapy. Why am I not happy? I just gave you a boatload of good direction. It might even save you some money. You give it to God. Let's look at number four. Learn to live within your means. Learn to live within your means. Now, most of us understand what that means, but if you can grow into the first two we just talked about, first three, then this is going to be a lot easier for you. But let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, because many people live right on the edge of what they can afford, right on the edge. And they can bear, there's no margin for error. That's a stressor. Everybody say stress. Learn to live within your means. Look what the scripture says, verse 8, 1 Timothy 6. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. I don't know two words that are all-encompassing like ruin and destruction. But because of having this area, it's amazing. People want a bigger house, nicer vehicles, and they will go after those things. And then all of a sudden, some financial hardship happens and just ruin happens, wipes them out. Be careful about that. Letter A on your notes, decide to live simple. Quit living on the financial edge. Quit living to take your credit card to go get those things because you can't tell yourself, wait. Watch out for those things. Be careful. Decide to live a more simple life. Now, I liked the fact that Ainsley and I, in our early parts of our marriage, lived in Banning, California. Everything was much simpler back then, and especially in that Riverside area. everybody seemed to have at least 5-year to 15-year-old vehicles, and nobody thought anything of it. We all swapped out our clothes. Nobody thought anything of it. I'm even grateful that my children were brought up in that area before we brought them here in their junior high and high school days. They didn't realize that everybody needed to be a number 10 in society and look exquisitely perfect. Stress. Everybody say stress. Yeah, a little less of you this time, huh? Yeah. But you can understand the importance of that. So Ainsley and I recognize there are things we could afford as things started to advance, but we limited ourselves to make sure we didn't want to go after a nicer house. We're grateful for the one we were in, but we lived in an 1,140-square-foot home with one bathroom, 3 bedrooms, and one of those bedrooms was a garage conversion. But we could afford it, and we were so happy. So it was an amazing thing when you start to deal with things like that. So we start to do, well, I really want bigger and I want better. Be careful about that. Letter B, create and follow a budget. Everybody, I'm sure, has heard that word budget. I like Dave Ramsey. He says a budget is telling your money where to go instead of wondering where it went. Where did that? I knew I had more money. What happened? So it's important when considering that. I'm grateful Ainsley handles our finance. I tell couples in premarital counseling, whoever's better at handling finance, let them. About 15 years into our marriage, Ainsley says, if something happens to you, Paul, I wouldn't know where to start. I don't know where certain things are. Maybe you could let me just kind of do the books a little bit for a few months. I'm telling you, she has not stopped since that day. She is much better at it than me, and she loves doing it. So it's been amazing to see that happen. Now, Ainsley uses something. There's a lot of great apps that are out there in making a budget. One by Dave Ramsey, Every Dollar app. Go and get that, Every Dollar app. And then check it out with Ainsley. How do you work this little app? She still has me under her thumb. I fill up my 20-year-old truck with $50 in gasoline. Doesn't get me as far. Maybe home. But I'll text her, $50 gasoline, Amex, World Gas. There she goes. She puts it in there. Prior to those apps, we used to do the envelope system. Remember the number 10 envelopes? Something you go down to what used to be a stationery store. And you make up the little shoebox with envelopes, groceries, and you allot that, gasoline, utilities, rent, insurance, piecemeal it out. We always did the 10-10-80. Sounds like a phone company, doesn't it? 10% tithe right off the top. We always gave God, and still do, our first fruits. 10% then into savings. That was a hard one. Tithe was not difficult when we had it in our hands. 10% we wanted to dive into, and 80% we lived on. That went into our little envelope system. We had one envelope, the Jesus Fund. That seemed to kind of run shallow, but that was the generosity envelope. The only complaint I had about Ainsley doing our budget years ago was that she started being generous with everybody. She'd be so happy. Paul, I just wrote a check for $100 to this. I said, wait, what else do you get? Well, $200, that, wait, are you kidding? Yeah, I thought you'd be happy. I am not happy. You're getting all the blessings. At least let me say yes. I get no call on this. Now she'll say, you know, what do you think about this particular ministry? Yeah, it's fun. So it's important when we get a chance to do that envelope thing. And when we piecemealed it off, I'll tell you, $300 a week didn't go very far. But we'd somehow have $20, fun money, $20. It's amazing. When you ran out of gas money, you didn't go pull it from the other envelope. She would, huh? You take money. So we would, all of a sudden, We'd take that $20 and we'd go down to Moreno Valley Costco shopping and we'd splurge on hot dogs and soda. Huh? What a deal. So those things were important to remember. Budget worksheets are wonderful. There are people that have certain patterns. Get a budget, so important. Let's look at number five, learn to trust God. Now that sounds simple, but man, people trust God for eternal life, but they can't trust God for their monthly rent. I don't get it. So when we take a look here, if you deal with Romans chapter 15, verse 13, it says, and I pray that God, the source of hope, we heard that earlier today, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, trusting God is our source in everything. So important. Just learn to say, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I know you will. Letter A, think about money as God does. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. It says, since you excel in so many ways in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, and your love from us, I want you to excel also in this gracious act of giving. Isn't that interesting? Gracious act of giving. Being generous. If you look as well, let's go to chapter 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. Scripture says, and God will generously provide all you need. I believe that. And then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Can you see something how God looks at money? It's to be used with generosity. That's God's goal. Somebody once said in the Old Testament, God let the nation of Israel be prosperous because he was going to build a temple of meeting. Temple of meeting. The tabernacle. Bring in all that gold and silver. Bring all that fine tapestry. Now God wants temples of meeting. It's called missions. Get people saved. You are temples of the Holy Spirit. If you generate income and income, you should trust God for as much prosperity as you possibly can, to be as generous as you possibly can. Let's go to a couple verses down. Verse 10, and he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. Now often, it's amazing, we elevate things in such a way. God wants to help us with your finances. Being generous is not a punishment to people. That is not a punishment. God's generous with us. He's trying to create God-like qualities in us. I'm telling you, when we start to become generous, not only does it reduce stress in you, but God, these verses I just shared with you, laid out to me that God wants us to excel in generosity. God promises to meet all our financial needs. God promises to increase our resources so we can continue being generous. And God wants us to experience that there is no shortage of his resources in the kingdom of God. I believe that. I know you do too. We are in America, great prosperous nation, but people are still stressed over finances. We're sharing why that comes on people that should not have stressors, but we do. So let's take a look here. Letter B, practice generosity. Let's look here. Chapter 8 again. We'll go back. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 11. We're going to wrap this up here. Verse 11, give in proportion to what you have. Whatever you give is acceptable if you give it eagerly. And give according to what you have, not what you don't have. And I sure like that. People say, well, Pastor Paul, man, we got record inflation, a very uncertain future. Should I be generous? I say yes. This is like the best time. You will experience the miracle hand of God to have that start to happen. How wonderful. Obedience to God's truth is not based on circumstances. How many know that? Wouldn't it be fun that you start to say, I want to be a little more generous? Sir, many of you have so blessed Hope Chapel over the years and our missions agencies, our church planting. You've either gone or been a part of or distributed. Thank you. Thank you. But I would just say, if you are used to a particular pattern and there's no challenge to your heart of giving, ask God to be generous. Say, I'm going to just stretch it just a little more, just a little more. I haven't been challenged lately. Start with something, but watch how God will add back to your resources. Unexpected discounts will come, I guarantee it. Coupons, I say, no way, I didn't anticipate that. Extra savings show up somewhere. Unexpected gifts. It just amazes me over the years how God makes life so much funner than a specific every Friday week check. The miraculous way God provides. Glory to God. I almost want to shout. I want to stomp my feet and say, man, yeah, he did it again. He did it again. It's such a bankable Bible. Now, you know, Monday is Cyber Monday. Now, you're going to go out and buy something for yourself. I know you. I know you. But Tuesday, now Tuesday is Giving Tuesday. You're supposed to give to some form of a nonprofit. Just think about it. Say, I never gave to that nonprofit before. Let's just give it. See what happens. See what God does. Hope Chapel, we've got our online giving stream. There's envelopes. Here, if you want, your church, if you're visiting, man, wait for Tuesday. Give somewhere else. Because it's really pretty fun and pretty exciting. Experience God showing up in your finances. It's an incredible thing. Major stress reducers when you say, I'm going to be generous. We're talking, managing those money stressors. I just gave you a big one. And you get blessed. People get blessed. God says, I'm going to pour more on you because you got it. It's exciting. Well, I'm going to leave you with that one. And your church here is here to help you too. You find that finances are tight. You come see me. We'll start there. Your church is here to help people grow in this understanding, but we don't want anybody to suffer. And if Hope Chapel is not your home church, you make sure you let your pastor know you're in financial straits. You're facing ruin. You go tell your pastor. I've had a few people from other churches say, you go back and tell your pastor. Don't rip your church off of a blessing helping you financially. That's not fair to them, that they don't get a chance to see. If they can't help you, come back and see me. But we will. Because of the generosity of people in this church that know what tithing is, and they go beyond that with an offering. Glory to God. Let's stand to our feet. Shall we do that? We're going to sing going out. But before we do, let me pray for us. Father in heaven, we want to thank you. If there's anybody that knows what generosity is all about, we want to thank you for giving us Jesus. And Jesus, thank you for coming. Thank you, Jesus, for saying, now I'm going to send another helper, the Holy Spirit. Ooh, he's here now. And Holy Spirit, you inspired men to write the word that does not change. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your word shall never pass away. So you have poured out everything worth substance in heaven and promise us eternal life. We are rich. So, Lord, if there are people still stressing over money, Lord, I pray for all of us. Deliver us. When you said that a man cannot serve both God and wealth, will hate one and love the other. So, Lord, we choose to love God. Lord, everything we have, it's yours. Everything we hope to become, still yours. Lord, we lay our lives before you once again. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally.
If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.